Okay, so we can just have Liz and John, Danielle and Josh, if you can come, if you're still here, mate. Just now we're just going to open it up just for anything, even practical elements of, I'll stand. Practical elements of anything you want to know that we may have insight into, you know, like feeding a child. Is there a way in which anyone here has gone through that process to help settle a child? You know, sleeping through the night. You know, what did you do to get your child sleeping through the night? Obviously, John and Liz have got four children, Sam and another son and the girls. And it's like, are there questions you want to ask these guys about practical stuff? Challenges that your child might be going through right now that you'd like insight into, just to help, because wisdom, God says, you know, if you want wisdom, ask, and you don't have because you don't ask. And so I just wanted to create an environment where we could ask real practical, it's practical, you know, stuff. So ask. Cool. So who's gonna lead the way?
One of the things Nick and I grapple with is that our kids are really different, which isn't surprising because we're really different. But interested in any thoughts you guys have got more than one kid have on how you set the same standard in the house, but also parent acknowledging the differences in the kids and who they are?
Our four children are now four young adults. So we have been through it, and they are four individuals. We have two boys and two girls. The girls are twins, although they're twins, they're fraternal twins, and they are two individuals too. So in our household, you can say that we've expected certain standards as far as, you know, dressing, feeding, basic things like that. When they were younger, we could expect a certain amount and it was more even, as in we were bosses, we were the adults, we told them what to do. There were certain choices, but as young children, we took control because they were too young to know it was best. Otherwise, they'd be eating, you know, chocolate and ice cream for every meal or whatever. So we took control, and that's what a parent does, that's what an adult does. They need to have some guidance and some wisdom. But as they got older, that control just gradually loosened, a bit like the umbilical cord, I guess. So, it was just very gradual from, you know, toddlers to primary school to high school to young adults. And now as young adults, I can say the four individuals I have to treat as four individuals. They are not four of the, from, they might come from the same pod, but they are four individuals. And so, hence, I am not in paid employment and haven't been for some time, because I found when I was, even though it was part-time, I was juggling. I would come home from work, busy job, come home and be busy at home. And there's a fine line between everything working perfectly well, and I was super efficient and super organised, I thought. And I was, really, to it turning to custard. And turning to custard was, like his name was saying, something falls out of the bed. Something goes. You get. And for me, it was, I was getting stressed and I would start getting ratty. And one day I came home from work and I was really grumpy with Samuel. And it wasn't his fault. I was just tired. I'd been at work all day, came home and I had to start again. And it wasn't his, it was me putting it on home. So I let all that go. And for me, for it to, and John had a busy job. So for me, I could certainly at times treat them together, like I'd read them all the same story together. We might all go to the park, we might all go to the beach, we might all go to the swimming pool, and we might all do those sorts of things together. But within that, you tweak what you do. Well, I did. I tweaked what I did to suit, because they were four individuals. So one might like that kind of book, one might like that kind of ice cream, and those are very obvious sort of things. But as they've got older, what one does and what I expect for one can be quite different because they're different personalities. So one's bedroom might be pretty well organized, and the other one, I just say, look, you know, I don't really want to see her, but, you know, sometimes I'll just, you know, you've got to turn a blind eye and think, well, there's a mess in there, but, you know, he remembers to floss his teeth. So what's really important, the mess can be tidied up, but, you know, he's as clean as anything. Does it really matter? You know, he says the floor drobe system works really well, Mum. So I've had to let go, and I'm a pretty well organized person, and, you know, got the teacher instinct in me, but I've learnt to let go and let the children be individuals too. But with that, being flexible, and the cost for me was giving up paid employment so I could be flexible. I could to and fro to the kids where I thought they wanted or needed to be, where I thought was best for them and for the family. So it was going with the flow was a cost to actually not just to me, to the whole family, physical cost because I lost income for the family. But the cost was that I think it's paid off.
Great. Wasn't that a brilliant answer?
So this is a question for Denny. How do you guys deal with technology?
How do we deal with technology?
It's an interesting question because it wasn't really, it's more school and peers that have actually increased the use of technology at home. And the more that it's been available at school, the more that they've decided that that's going to be okay to have it at home. I think it's just the thing of having boundaries in place and talking that through with the children as well, and saying when it's time to, when mum or dad say it's time to, you know, that's enough, then that's enough. You don't go on anymore. You don't try and be sly. And when there is, you know, discrepancies and they're trying to be sly and, you know, do their own thing, then there's consequences of that. And we talk that through, don't we, as to what that's going to be. And we had something just the other day, and you know, there had to be a consequence put in place, and it was a very sullen child that was looking back at me, but she knew what the consequences was. We told her, already told her, and that was the end of that. It's probably different because I haven't quite gone into that teenage side of things yet, and I know as they get older and they are exposed to more and more technology, and even just what is available on the internet, you know, more things will need to be put in place. And there are definitely some programs and apps that you can put on your iPads and computers to help with that. So it's just, I guess, being wise and being one step ahead as well. Would you agree with that, Greg?
I think also it's about, like with everything, it's about entering into it with them. So it's an open forum. It's like what Liz was saying, you know the child, so you enter into that and you're not afraid of it. I think so often in the church we want to protect, and so we actually set up laws and that actually propel behaviour. And yet there's tension and all that as well, isn't it? I mean, to give you an idea, I mean, something not even a line of what she could be looking at, what we found is spelling. And because they're using Chromebooks and stuff like that, which automatically spell the word. So we've noticed, you know, we've got to work, we're going, oh man, actually we need to get back to spelling, because it's almost like, oh, I don't know how to spell, so I just type in a word. So there's a negative of technology right there, you know, that's a positive. And yet in time, it may be how it all goes. I mean, I think next year Maddie's got to have her own iPad, you know, so you've got to enter into what's happening while at the same time you're bringing maturity. I love what you said. You're bringing that maturity with each child, because some children it's not an issue, what are you looking at? And then put in guidelines. So we put, like Danny said, we put guidelines, timeframes. And we'll sit there and we both do, what are you looking at? Or even they're looking while we're looking. So it's open. You know? But I think it's like everything, it's going to be a challenge because it's a culture of the way everything's going. And there's nothing wrong with technology, but in the wrong hands, you know, it's that sort of thing. So anyone else want to throw anything? Does that help? Yep. Once again, I think for ourselves, like, where are we with it? How much time do we spend on Facebook? Rather than, I love this, Danny's got this message of Facebook. Do you know what I mean? So are you modeling for your children something that they're watching and then going to create another standard for them? So it's that challenge, isn't it? You know. And I think that's why you could, you know, like, let them into that as well. You know, I'm reading the word when I'm on this, I'm not. But once again, it is perception because they forget and you don't forget to remind them and they go, oh, Dad's always on that. So you're absolutely right.
Is there something that parents can use as a guideline for your children to do Bible study at home? On a point of technology, a application or something like that, in specific age where your child is in age. So you can follow a procedure to do Bible study with your kids.
Do we want to? Anyone want to answer that first before I jump on? So yes and no is the simple answer. There's, I guess, like here we've got a book called The Purple Book. I've just created that thing myself, you know, so that thing there. But ultimately, it's, I guess at the end of the day, it's going to be you knowing your child because you know your child the best more than anyone and then asking the questions with them. So there's truckloads online you can find stuff, but age appropriate, that's tricky. Because what's appropriate for one's not actually appropriate for another. There's 13-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 5-year-olds and those sorts of tensions. So I think ultimately you know yourself and what you went through at that age. And so that's a guide. You can ask yourself, what was I struggling with? And that doesn't mean my son or daughter is, but you can ask the question. So I think ultimately it's open dialogue. That's what we try and create. You know, is there anything you want to share? What is it you're going through right now? And then, you know, who is God? Is a great weird place to start. You know, and you could stay there forever. You know, so it's tricky because we have a thing called a purple book, which the JC Rock kids have been going through, which is similar to that, but it's bigger. But once again, it's not just a fill in the blank. You know, so it's like you fill it in, but what does it really mean? So, yeah, there is, and we can lead you to some of those things. But once again, depending on the person, some people just want to grab the Bible with a child and let's walk this through. I think that's the key, you know, and letting then the child speak and hear. Don't presume where they're at. Let them tell you where they're at, and then walk it through with them. In appropriateness of age, once again, because you're, you know, they're all different, and you're sort of hearing. So I don't know if anyone else wants to add.
Just very quickly, I mean, it's good to encourage your kids and to you know, try and direct them as well. So we were lucky because there was a boys' rally along the road from us. That's Samuel and James and the girls. Well, the girls really, you know. And there's Scripture Union camps, and so they meet other people, and they find other ways. And you know, because we're with certain stages of their life, they don't listen to their parents. You can as much. You can say what you like, but they. But if you get those environments where they can go along to some of those things and see other kids and learn from some of those other kids, and you know, it's often it's young adults that they're interacting with some of those things, you know, especially like ski camps and all that sort of stuff. And so they relate to them a lot better and they pick up stuff.
I don't know. Whoa, hello. Obviously, I don't have any teenagers yet, but what I can add to it is that we can spin it back. Instead of looking at our child, we can spin it back onto ourselves. And what are we demonstrating? What are we in the Word as much as we want our children to be in the Word? And are we? Is it overflowing out of us? Is it on the tip of our tongues? Is that what our kids are involved with? Because they're the ones that are obviously with us more than anyone else. And so what are they seeing coming out of us? Jesse was saying something to me about how it's easy to just put Elliot in her little station thing where she can entertain herself and Jesse can run around doing little jobs and stuff, but actually more importantly, spending the time with her and reading little books to her, even though she can't understand it yet or whatever, it's more important than just the easy option of just plonking. So instead of giving your child a Bible and saying, good luck, and then you play on your phone, actually doing it with them, and they're naturally seeing you doing it anyway. So
I think if you think of multiple ways as well, do you know, like it says, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So that's what I'm hearing from both. There's a way and there's a way. And so it's all, not one or the other. We want to do one or the other, but express. So, you know, he was 1 and 1, 1 and 3, 1 and 12, 1 and 70, 1 in the world. So if you see that as all, he was in all, and that's how it can work. And that's it's like around their peers, but don't just be around their peers because their peers have, you know, it's like, so that's the all, I think, and that helps as well.
The more senior couple might be able to answer this, but you know, we're sort of beyond the little kids stage. I'm just talking about adult kids who come back home to live, who might, you know, get broke, have no money, or they lose their jobs, or there's a relationship breakdown, or something goes wrong, or it's just because it's better at home, mum and dad. Have you had that experience? Any good advice?
It's the only one who's left so far is Sam. All the others are still at home. But so, no, I can't give much advice. But I think, and I know Liz sort of feels this in particular, is that, you know, you're always there for them, you know, and, you know, we've got quite a big house, and so, you know, the other three might leave in the next while. But, you know, what do you do? Do you, you know, scale down or do you keep your house? But I think we'll probably keep it.
I would look at it as you get a second chance to parent. I mean, you're privileged. I feel privileged that I felt shortchanged when Samuel left home. I didn't feel privileged because I enjoyed parenting. And I liked having Samuel around. We liked having Samuel around. But, you know, he was ready to leave and ready to spread his wings. But I think we are honoured, we're lucky that our children want to be as home as long as they can, because we can continue parenting. We can continue to influence and have that influence. Once they've fled the nest, you have less and less chance of that.
So as long as I think that you're giving sort of freedom, I look at our young adults as the flatting, I say to people, they're almost flatting at home. So we give them freedoms and the flexibilities that they would almost have in a flatting situation, except we do like to know if they're coming home at odd hours, I would like to know, you know, that they're on someone's couch if they're not coming home. But really, they have the flexibility of flatting, but they have way more advantages. I mean, it's cheap at home. You get your washing done. I mean, what could be better? And if you can't still do that, I mean, as Vera said, you know, she's over 16, she's still a mother. You know, I lost both my parents recently and, you know, nearly 90 and over 90. They were still my parents. I'll still be a parent. I won't necessarily tell them what to do, but I'll be there if they need me. I still do their washing, unless we're on holiday. And you know, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, if you had a problem with it, then it would be your issue. But for me, it's not an issue. Just, you know, it's an automatic washing machine.
I think there's a tension, and depends on the person as well. Like, so is what they're needing in a particular time, but is there a vision for something more? Because the flip side or the other side of that is I'm not learning certain things that I need to be learning. And that's the tension, you know? It's like, and like Liz says, we're always going to be a parent, we're always going to influence to the measure that they want to listen, but you're still a parent. But the same time as you can be stifling growth. But together you have to work that out, together. You know, it's like, man, if you're living in the Auckland market at the moment, you know, but at the same time, the beauty of that is there's a challenge to overcome and it's a challenge to be learned, and you can only learn it through the test. So if you're prevented from going through the test, you're never going to learn anything. So it's this challenge and this test that has to be worked out together. I know for me, I left home when I was 18. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The things I learned, the appreciation I had for my mum and dad, what I had to go through, and the disconnect to be able to stand up on my own two feet was powerful. It set me in confidence. But my mum and dad still influenced me. They still parented me. But that was great, you know. But it's this tension. It's not, there's no right or wrong answer, but there is a, I guess we're looking for maturity and a growing up, you know. So there's times. I know when Danny came back from Italy, she was with her mum and dad for a period of time, you know, because she had nowhere to live. But the goal was to then, you know, and that adds other challenges because, you know, and that's what we're talking about, relationships, is that we can be married, but actually there could be an unhealthy relationship between a parent and a child that's getting in the way of the marriage. So that's, you know, there's those issues. So there's deep issues that you got to work through, but work through together in love and, you know, for the purpose of maturity. And it's a challenge. So what's our view on discipline and how do we discipline? Great question. Josh. Actually, can we start with you guys? How have you disciplined your guys? What are some of the strategies that you've used, knowing that they're individuals?
But hard to remember now, actually. Yes, yeah. Just Samuel. I suppose we were quite lucky, you know, because Liz, as she said, she was at home a lot, so she was, you know, she was quite involved in their lives. And our kids were pretty good, really. You know, we had a few sort of, you know, a few sort of tactics, like, you know, you count to three, which had worked right up until their teens, really. Yeah, but won't mention that. I must say I'm really struggling to remember, but I do remember we used to count a lot. And we used to have time out, you know, so, you know, they have to go into their room. And there were times when they missed out on things. So, you know, they're arguing, well, you know, that's it. We're not, you know, going to be, you know, going to that movie. We're not going to be doing that. And because of that, but we also use rewards a lot as well, and Liz was pretty good at this. You know, and so if they did things really well, we tried to say that. You know, we weren't always that great at it. But we also tried to treat them like individuals as well. You know, as I said, all four of them are different. You know, even the twins are, you know, a lot different. So it was different tactics for, you know, for each of the kids. Like James, our second son, he really liked boundaries. You know, if you set a boundary, you know, he was fine, usually. whereas the girls, because, you know, they are twins and, you know, same age, and they, you know, we tried to treat them as totally individuals. And so it was a different tactic from Tessa than it was for Rosalie. So you just sort of have to learn them a little bit. It's not one thing for everybody. And so I haven't answered that very well because it's been quite a while ago. I have to think about it a bit more.
I think for us, it's a learning process, and we have used physical discipline as well. I think because the world says you can't smack a child, a lot of Christian families are very scared of actually disciplining their children physically. Yes, there are very much boundaries and there is wisdom within that, but at times we have used the wooden spoon. That has become less and less, and it's a personal decision that Greg and I have come to. One thing I will say on discipline, physical or consequences, boundaries, etc., is that we have learnt is that you always talk to each other outside of the room, not in the moment, that you need to be on the same page. You know, a couple of times I've sort of said, no, I don't agree with that, and it would be in front of, you know, either Maddie or Lily, and I've realised later that was just the absolute wrong thing to do, because for one, the child sees I'm going to get one up here, and it also is completely disrespectful for, you know, for Greg. So yeah, it's a learning process, you know, what the crime is, what have they done? And Kirsten always teaching me, does the punishment fit the crime, you know, or are you being too harsh? Do you need to actually just come back to why is the child reacting like that? What's the trigger? What's going on beforehand, you know? And sometimes what is your tone of voice talking to me? Have I caused the anger? You know, have I actually caused this angst and this, you know, this real tension in the home, and do I actually need to come back and actually say I'm sorry, so that actually things are smoothed over in a way of modelling actually saying sorry to each other? Yeah.
I think follow through is critical. So what you say you're going to do, you do. Otherwise, once again, you're teaching that what you say you don't do. You know, but ultimately, you know, we're in a society and a culture today, like Danny says, that says, you know, smacking, you get in trouble. So if you're found smacking in public, you smack, even, you know, the kids turn around and say, you can't smack, you know. And yet, as it says, you know, it says, don't spare the child the rod, you know, because there's a purpose behind that. But what's that purpose? And is that his purpose or your purpose? And what we found is once again, like knowing your child, what actually works for your child. So for Lily, a smack doesn't work for Lily. Lily will stand there, staunch as, and go. Maddie is completely different. And so obviously you don't want to smack, you know, so you're trying to figure out, well, we don't want, but you're trying to figure out, you know, what works and then appropriate to that and then the follow through to that. But there has been times when a smack was what worked. You know, it realigned the behavior where timeout didn't and that didn't happen. But once again, it's like, you know, if you're still smacking when they're 16, you're in trouble. Laws don't change hearts. Love does. And so that's the journey you're going on. So even out of love, you're smacking. But what we do, and what I always make a note is why I'm doing this. So I'll explain why we're about to do this. I don't want to do it, but I'm going. And we talk. You know, as the Bible says, God disciplines those he loves. So that's in a various format of ways. And so once again, it's working with the child. And then it's very much after the discipline, whatever that looks like, coming together, reassurance, and moving forward. And we need it, don't we? You know, I mean, look at the world. It's a lack of discipline, lack of good parenting. And this is what I was talking about before. If you're fearful and insecure, you're going to struggle to fulfill this part of what the child needs. A child needs discipline. I need a discipline. You need discipline. Your parents need a discipline. So it's about working out what it looks like in the tension of today as well.
I think looking back, why we didn't have to discipline too much was because my motto was to be proactive rather than reactive. And I think that's kind of gone all the way through from when kids were young right to when they're adults, and tweaking obviously for different age groups and say whatever the crime was. But as a you know, if you've got toddlers and you know they've got lots of energy and time on their hands, if they've got nothing to do, you're more likely to have problems if there's not enough for them to do. So being proactive, you know, it might mean that you've got the puzzles out or the games out or whatever, so that they just see them sitting there in the room and they just gravitate or they choose what they want to do. You know, they've got extra energy, or you might take them out to the park before there's a problem, not wait till there's a problem. Do it beforehand. And so you're having a happy time, a pleasant time, and so actually you prevent a lot of problems by being proactive. But with that comes being organized and prepared. And so, you know, even as adults, young adults in the house, letting them have their choices and so on, it becomes harder and harder to be proactive because there are, you know, five adults and they're all, you can't be proactive in the same way, but you can still prevent issues. Like if they're going to be home late at night, you can sort of say, okay, I want you to let me know by midnight. I want to know where you are, if you're coming home tonight or not. And the other issue is really trust. I guess we've trusted our kids. We actually, that's the only thing we have put on them, is tell us where you are. But other, and that hasn't been with all of them. We've just trusted that they'll be home at a sensible time, or that they'll do the right thing. You know, if they're learning to drive, they abide by the rules. They're home by 10, or if it's 1 minute past, okay, all right, they might have got held up, you know, a few minutes after, whatever. Be flexible. Be flexible, but proactive, I think, has helped us a lot.
Be careful what you say as well when you're about to discipline. Those words can cut in anger. So that's one thing I'm very much aware of, trying to hold, because it's out. You can destroy someone. So last question. Yep. I think that's the proactiveness, the, you know, being one on the same page. Awesome. Cool. Thanks, guys. Sound wisdom. Yeah. All right. So, Father, we thank you for today. Lord, you are our Father, and we are your child. So just continue to teach us and help us and give us your wisdom in every area of life. Father, we thank you for every area of life. We thank you for everything that you've given us. And just continue to help us to steward what you've given us well. Help us to model, help us to be, help us to lead, and help us to take others with us, Father. Not only our physical families, but everyone, our spiritual family, and even the lost. Father, help us to reach and bring wisdom into these areas. Father, we thank you. We just celebrate today. And we pray your blessing and your favor on what we've heard today. And